The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, 3-point. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
We're actually going to talk about a couple of the guys that are in that open. It's the Big Shot Bob pod. My name is Rob Jenners. That's B-Dog Brandon Harper. And, man, someone who was all over the news this week, seven-time NBA champion Robert Ory. How much did your phone just explode
this
weekend,
man,
after Rudy got up on stage during his Hall of Fame induction and lobbied for you?
You know, it was like all of a sudden my phone starts going off because I had paused it and was doing something else. And you know how you pause it, you know, you're a little delayed and my phone's going off. And my first thing is like, oh, crap, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the family. Something's wrong with one of my kids. And I'm like, I said, well, hell, one of them in the corner. So I know he all right. And it was like everybody was texting me like, oh, yeah, he's right. And I was like, you know, Chris McGee, one of the guys on our show that I do for Lakers, he was the first one to text me. And I was like, and I texted him back like, did you text the wrong person? Because what he texts was weird. I'm trying to look it up now. But I was like, the next thing I know, I had like 40 text messages.
Oh, so. Well, here was the moment from Rudy's Hall of Fame, and Vernon Maxwell is going to be joining us here in just a second, but here was Rudy up on stage during the Hall of Fame.
And in that spirit, I want to speak up for Robert Ory to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He is truly a legendary player. He made so many clutch shots. He's got 7 rings to prove it. This is where he belongs.
And you got a nice raucous roar from the crowd too when he mentioned your name. So,
yes, I was very honored and shocked. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say how did that land when you finally actually got to see it?
Well, it was at first I was sitting there, you know, after I was watching it, and I kind of knew it was coming up, but also I was watching it, and I'm like, damn, Rudy just mentioned everybody that won a championship but me. I'm like, what? But damn.
Sam Cassell, he mentioned everybody. Man.
And then he went down to staff, you know, all the people who were involved. Like, well, damn.
What
dude, like,
did I miss it? Yeah. What happened here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was just saving the best for last, I guess.
And I didn't realize, are you and Rudy still close?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know why I didn't think that. Think about that, because you think about, you know, Bree brought this up the other day, the legendary coaches that you've played under.
Yeah.
Rudy Tomjanovich, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich. I mean, like, guys that are just all-timers. And I
only talked to one.
And Rudy's the only guy you talked to?
Yeah. I don't even think I have Phil's number.
Well, we established that when Jeannie was on.
I definitely don't have Pop's number. I feel like for some odd reason Pop doesn't like me, and it was just a relationship. Yeah, I just feel like there's a reason. You know, I would love to know why. I know because I kind of got an inkling of why, but you know, I just don't think that I'm very favorable in his eyes. But that's another story for another day, because you know, going back to the Hall of Fame thing, and when, you know, the pause that I got, and I'm looking and I'm like, oh, Tim, first of all, your ass should be the first motherfucker up there clapping, because I saved your ass in 2005 and Tim gave me the golf clap, but I'm a you know, you at least gave me two good hard claps. Tim, like,
oh, really?
And I'm like, damn, Tim, out of all the people, I thought maybe you would have gave me a little bit of love. But
Hold on. Let me shoot Tim some bail in his defense, if I have to assume. Uh-huh. That clap is a representation of his temperament.
Yeah,
Tim
that's
is
what
a very
say.
Calm individual, I would assume.
Mm. Yeah.
Unless you're talking about video games and cars.
Okay. Well, you know, we all got our things that we get hype about.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, though, you know, I still don't. It's you know, we all get emotional for certain things. And so, you know, I figured it lets me know. That was one of the things that let me know where I stand. You know, it might be, and then Tim might be still a little salty, but when I said that Hakeem Olajuwon was 10 times better than him.
Oh,
you know, he'd be a little bit salty about that. But hey, that's what this world is about. It's about our opinion, right?
Yeah,
our opinion is what make America great. We can say what we want to say and have our own opinion, our own thought process. So
I'm Robert Horry, and I approve this message.
But let me tell you one thing that I really loved about him saying that, and even the claps in the audience, is, you know, you have your superstars around the league who everybody knows, you know, whether they're respected or not, everybody knows them, so they have this kind of built-in audience. But to see somebody like you who's hit big shots, who, if you wouldn't have hit those shots, history would have changed. I don't know how, we don't know how it would have looked. To see the level of respect that when people mention your name, people like, yeah, Big Shot Bob, we're cool. Yeah. Oh, I like him. I respect him. And to see you have that overall conglomerate of respect amongst your peers and even some of the younger guys in the league, I think that's pretty dope.
You know, with that being, what you just said is why when people always ask me about the Hall of Fame, I'm like, man, it is what it is. You know, I just know that I'm respected by my teammates.
Right.
I'm loved by my teammates. My teammates know I'm going to give you everything I got and then some more. And so that's the most important thing to me, is that I was loved by my teammates and that, you know, I made everyone around me better. And that's why I won 7 championships in 16 seasons. Yeah. You know, that's a good ratio. I probably could have won more if, you know, certain things would have happened that didn't happen and people pay attention to the fucking game plan. And I'm not going to go there. And that's another reason why people in San Antonio probably have ill will for me, because I speaketh the truth.
Well, that's for sure. And I just thought, for Rudy to take a piece of his speech and his limited time that he had on the stage and dedicate that to you, I thought that was huge. Oh. I mean, it's so special, and it's not like it happened, and B and I were talking about this, it's not like it happened in an interview or like a pre-ceremony time on the – no, he took time in his Hall of Fame induction speech to stump for you. And that was huge.
As soon as I saw that, I texted him, and I was like, dude, you just made me famous again.
Yeah.
You know?
Now,
you just made me famous for another week. So,
we get to hang on one more week.
Yeah.
But we think we're going to have Rudy on, hopefully, later this week.
Yes.
So
yes.
We are trying to lock down a time here, but Rudy, we will probably release that as its own little standalone episode, chance for you and Rudy to kind of connect, talk about the Hall of Fame, and maybe talk a little bit about kind of how that all went down. So.
Yeah.
Rudy will join us, but first, NBA legend Vernon Maxwell will join us here in just a second. All right, well, what do you think of the shirt? What do you think?
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, you like?
Yeah, I like it.
It's nice, right? Comfy. But this is from our friends at Mack Weldon. Like, we can't all do the podcast in Alabama gear every week, so they had
this
to dress.
This ain't Alabama gear. I know, I look like I'm in the country about to go hunting, but damn.
They got to dress some of us up here, but they make quality, good-looking gear from they're just the best. It's comfortable. They got styles with hoodies, polos, tees, pants, shorts, a ton of great looks no matter what you're doing this spring. MackWeldon.com is the place to check it out.
Everything in the Mack Weldon collection mixes and matches seamlessly to fit in with anything you have. I love those sweatpants, and their underwear are crazy comfortable, soft, stylish. Mack Weldon's look are some of the best.
So I am wearing Mack Weldon underwear. I will not put that on camera. That might be one.
Please do.
No, it's okay. That'll be one when I lose a bet to you somewhere down the line. I'm not going to show that. But Mack Weldon's got all the men's essentials, socks to shirts, like we said, even the underwear, active shorts, and they promise that everything's comfortable and it has a consistent fit. They look great. They're good for working out or just going out. Simply put, Mack Weldon is for everyday life. They make guys like me even look kind of good. They offer Mack Weldon Blue, which is a totally free loyalty program. If you get to level 1, it gets you free shipping for the rest of your life. That's awesome. You reach level 2 by spending $200 and you get 20% off every order for a year. So you spend a couple bucks, you're going to get some rewards here. And Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep them for a refund, no questions asked.
For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/Ori and enter promo code Ori. That's H-O-R-R-Y. That's MackWeldon.com/Ori, promo code Ori for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basic.
Promo code Hori. Hori, H-O-R-R-Y. That was like that girl on First Take that whole day. Kept calling you Robert Horry. How are you, Vernon, man?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm blessed, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, good to have you. Well, we wanted to have you on. Obviously, Rob loves you.
That's my guy.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about you, it was a couple weeks ago or something. We had a listener kind of ask about, your experience playing together in 95 and kind of what fell out from there. So, you know, Rob's like, well, we got to get him on, man. Talk to Mad Max.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Max. Who do we have on?
It was a listener question. It was like a listener wanted to know kind of how it went down and was there a vote about Vernon getting his championship ring.
Oh, yeah. We had a listener come on. He was just – well, he didn't come on. He sent in a question. We have questions sent in. It was talking about Mad Max. And, Max, you know, I've always been a huge fan of yours since I first saw you. I'm going to back this story up. I don't know if you even noticed. The first time I met Vernon was in Tuscaloosa. I was being recruited by Alabama ever since I was a sophomore. My mother and I were standing in the hallway. And you have to come down this ramp to walk into the Coliseum. We had got there early, so Florida was coming in. And the last guy off the bus, of course, was Vernon Maxwell. He walks in there. It was, you know, the Eminem show. I don't know if y'all remember the Moulton and Maxwell show, right?
Right.
So Max walks in, and I'm looking like, this guy right here, Vernon had swagger before swagger even came out, right? He come into a Coliseum. My mom was like looking at me like, that dude right there, look, he just going to kill Alabama. And so from that moment on, I'm the whole time at Alabama, I'm watching, and Max is just giving them the business, but they didn't win that game. But of course, I never seen a guy talk so much trash in college and was losing, but still talking trash. And next thing I know, I'm this guy's teammate. So, but Vern, I've been a big fan, and everybody was like talking about, the question was, did we give Vernon a ring? What was your vote? I said, my vote was to give Vernon a ring. I just hate that the situation happened, because I think back at what we could have did, even though we won a championship, I was like, if Max would have been there, I'd have probably moved a small forward faster. And then Vernon had been at the 2, Clyde at the 3, me at the 4, Dream at the 5. I said, in those days when Kenny Smith wasn't, you know, bringing the ball up as strongly as we would have liked,
right.
You know, we could have did some damage. But, yeah, so that was just one of the things we talked about. And I know they always want you to, you know.
Well, the question was, did you actually get a championship ring? Did you get your ring?
No, they didn't give me the second one. I guess they said the players voted me no. I don't know who was no and who was yeah, but they never did say that. But nah, I didn't.
That's Vernon. That is so weird, because I don't know any player that said no.
Well, I guess the Rockets must have did that on their own. That's why I was like, well, that was weird, because I was like, damn, I ain't had no problem with none of my teammates, I don't think. Shit, I know I left the team, but goddamn, I was like, still, I know them boys had my back.
Right.
Yeah, but you know that, you know, we all know how Payless was, so you know,
he was really difficult.
For right. y'all, for the people who don't know who Payless is, that's Leslie Alexander. I used to call him Payless.
For obvious reasons, yeah.
That's the reason he got rid of me and Sam, because he didn't want to pay us. I'm
right.
So what got you to that point in 95 when you decided that was it, I'm gonna bounce? Like what was kind of like the mindset leading up to it, you know?
I mean, I just coming back from the suspension, 10-game suspension, and I mean, I guess I was in my feelings too, because the way they handled the situation with Clyde, I mean, it was cool. I didn't have a problem with it. It's just the way they handled it. You know, I know I was suspended and everything, but I thought they should at least like said something to me, like, okay, Max, you know, you're suspended, and, you know, and just tell me, I'm tired of that shit. We're tired of this shit. And just tell me what the fuck was going on. And I felt like I deserved that much, you know, especially after the special season that we had before and all the years I put into it, you know, into the organization. And I just felt like, you know, I was disrespected. And then when I came back in the Utah series, but Rudy T was, he really didn't play me. The motherfucker, he like sat me, you know, and then towards the end, he tried to put me in and shit and make the, I mean, I was like, that's some bullshit. And I was mad as hell after that first game. And I was really upset, because I was like, well, damn, this motherfucker did me like that. And I understand we got Clyde and all that. You know, I understand the, you know, I understand the political shit, that goes along with this shit. You know, I was understandable, you know, and you know, we needed another piece because we really wasn't playing, you know, well that year in 95. At that time, we were struggling a little bit and we needed a extra boost, you know, like another boost, like a guy like Clyde came on and gave us another boost of energy, I felt, and it was good for the team. But I mean, shit, I mean, goddamn. I mean, I just didn't think that Rudy T would do me the way, you know, what happened. But I don't think it was, I just think it was much. I mean, when I think about it a lot now and I think about it all the time, you know, I mean, it was probably one of the worst decisions of my life, like I said, back in the documentary. Still, though, I just felt disrespected and I shouldn't have left, you know what I mean? But, you know, Robert, you know how I was, Robert. Once I make my damn mind up that I'm going to do something, you know, that's the fuck I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, if I tell you, I'm going to slap the shit out of this motherfucker, you know I'm going to slap the shit out of it.
Hey, but, you know, for people who listen, you really have to go see our documentary on Clutch City. We touch on a lot of things, you know. We touch on especially in that 95 season and how MJ came back and how the rivalry between MJ and Vernon was. And a lot of people don't know that. We were playing Chicago for the first time, and I've never heard two guys call someone a black MF as much as Vernon and Joyce.
Wow, really?
So I'm listening to, like, we going to bust your ass, yeah, young. And then Vernon looks at me and says, young fellow, they're about to fucking give Scotty the fucking business. Yes, Scotty.
Yeah,
and I'm like, whoa, yo, don't put me in that, man. I'm just new to this shit. Don't get me in the rivalry yet. So Vernon used to talk so much shit. And, you know, if you go back and look at all the tapes, everybody always talk about, you know, matchups. They talk about MJ and Reggie, but shit, you really need to watch MJ and Vernon, because people don't know Vernon would give MJ the business just like MJ would give everybody else the business.
So That's right.
Always say, oh, the Bulls would have got you. No, they fuck, they wouldn't have got us, man. Because we had too much shit and they couldn't guard Dream. And
they had nobody for that.
Revamped that whole team, but everybody in the world want to be like, oh, MJ, you forget we had a fucking GOAT too.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right, Rod. That's right.
Hey, Vern, let me say this. You know, listening to a lot of you guys, you know, from the 80s and the 90s speak, and I understand it was a different league than what it is today. But y'all was some angry folks, boy. You got Rob throwing towels at folks. You you wanting to go upside folk head. You got Latrell Sprewell choking the hell out of people. Y'all some angry men back in the 80s and the 90s, man. I don't know what it was, but y'all some angry folks.
I think that's way we were brought, we grew up playing that way. You know, back then, you know, you had to, you know, you play with older men back when we come up playing back in the day. You know, we ain't always play with people our age. We always play with the older guys and shit. And that's the way we had to fight out there, man, to play on, stay on the motherfucking floor. If you ain't fighting, your ass ain't playing.
It's funny you say that, man. If you go back now and you go to the playground compared to when we play around, you had to have you had to put a brick or a stick on the side of the playground. I said, all right, fuck with me. I'm going to go get that brick.
I'm going to go with my bus.
Nowadays, guys, like, oh, you found me. Okay, I'm sorry, friend.
Yeah, it's your ball. Take out. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, it's hard for me to watch that shit now. It's hard for me to watch it. I was like, who played last night? I was like, I was asking my man, Cam. I was like, who the hell played last night? That's how much I watch that shit. I ain't even know plan. I don't even know nothing about the plan. I don't know nothing about that shit.
Yeah, you have to learn about this now. I have to learn because of TV. And I'm like, okay, what? Who? Playing? What the hell is this?
I know this shit is crazy.
So what is it about? I mean, you know, you said you're not watching a whole lot of it. You know, what is it about the game specifically that just doesn't really garner your interest much? You know, is there anything more about the game now than what it was that just kind of has you looking at it like, I don't want to watch this stuff?
Well, you know, shit, the game is drug out and shit. Every damn time I turn around, they're going over looking at a damn TV screen over there at the damn table and trying to figure out, man, just call it what you see, man. And just let it be that. And we human beings, like when we play, we ain't had no goddamn body. Referees couldn't go over there and look at the damn screen and figure out who fouled, who the ball went off on and all this shit. Man, just call it like you see it, man. And that's the game, man. And And instead of, I mean, and then all this touchy shit and you can't touch nobody no more. And then I guess if a motherfucker land on your feet, that's a foul. You have to have room to land and shit when you jump and all this dumbass shit. I'm like, man, I just can't do it.
What's your thought on load management these days?
I had to play. It wasn't no rest for us. I mean, we had to play. And I mean, so I just feel shit, it's your job, shit. And the best job in the world, you're doing what you love to do. I mean, and I think a lot of people, when they get there and they finally make it, they forget how much, you know, love that they have for the game. And like, I just couldn't see myself. I love to play it. I love to compete. So I wanted to play shit. I ain't want to practice now, shit. Not that much. but I wanted to play in the games, though, shit.
You know, you remember that one time, Vern, I think it was my second year in 94, that somehow it got out that Rudy was going to rest Hakeem. Right. And the league was like, if you rest Hakeem, we're going to fine the team like $100K. And I was like, what? And so we had to just say, oh, he has a back injury. And then they say, at least he got to play the first quarter. And it is weird how now these guys can just say, oh, low management, you know, whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
It's a different day and age. And, and the thing about it is, load management should have been more in our day and age because we don't have the technology to heal ourselves.
Right. Ooh,
we don't have planes to get us there quick.
Come on, man.
Their load management for me for no reason when they have all this technology to.
Oh, my goodness. All this stuff can bring them back. They can recovery. All this shit they put on their legs and all this, man, they go in this motherfucking bubble and shit. And get them. I don't know what they call that shit. They get in a bubble, LeBron, they say he's sleeping and shit. Shit, they got so much shit, man. I could have played 25 years by hell.
Well, you know, you talk about it being a different game. I don't think a 10-game suspension for you for going up into the stands in Portland today would have been, you're out of the league, you're ejected, gone from the team. It was a 10-game suspension for you in 95 when you went. Now, the best part of watching the video of Max going up in the stands is number 25 chasing his ass.
My
right
man,
there.
Here
comes Robert Horry. Right behind him. Right
my
up
man
the steps
was,
behind
he
him.
Really, he really wanted to grab me, and I think he really wanted to grab me and tell me, come on, Max, go, man, come on. But he really, and then he's like, fuck it, I got to go on up there. God damn it, I got to go up in this motherfucker. Got to just make sure nobody don't hit this motherfucker. Let me go on up there. God damn, my boy was behind me. Then after the shit happened, that little scuffle went on, and he grabbed me and damn, grabbed, you know. But my man, that's my guy, man. That's my guy. That was my young guy, Rob. Big Shot Rob. That's me.
Hey, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm sitting at the end of the bench, and I just hear Vernon jawing with this dude, and all of a sudden, Vern takes off like a rocket. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Here we go. It's like when you know one of your boys is going to get in a fight. You have that moment of, damn it.
Damn it. Now I got to get ready to fucking fight. I got to get my mind right.
Man, I had a night off. I mean, damn. All right. Yeah.
The bad part, we was getting our ass beat by Portland, too.
Hey, Rudy T was fucking with me, and that man was fucking with me. And Rudy T was like, motherfucker, get your head in the game. I'm like, man, fuck you, Rudy T. I'm going to get this motherfucker. Hey. I'm going to get you, boy.
Hey,
you
Vernon, at that time,
security man.
At that time, you ain't got nothing to lose.
Right. Oh, there you go. My man. So we were getting our ass whooped.
Might as well make it count.
Everybody always talk about that situation could have been really nasty because his friend was about to jump Vernon, and then I was right there, and and then behind me was Otis.
My homeboy.
You got to think the three of us up in the stands, and then at the time Robert Barr came up there too. It was like we look around, just the four of us up there, and all these Portland fans like, ooh.
Had us
what
surrounded.
Have we done?
Then we were surrounded. I was like, well, damn.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, Vern, I want to ask, what is your, how is your relationship with, you know, with Rudy T, you know, through all that you all, you know, you had to deal with him and not seeing eye to eye? How is your overall relationship with him to this day?
I love Rudy T. That's my guy, man. I don't have nothing bad to say about Rudy T. I mean, whatever happened between that with me and Rudy T, I felt like it was my fault, you know what I mean? Because Rudy T loved my dark ass. I mean, he loved the shit out of me, man. I mean, so, I mean, I ain't got nothing bad to say about Rudy T. I love that man. I mean, shit, he mentioned me in his Hall of Fame speech. Yeah, he mentioned all of us. So, I mean, I don't have that's water under the bridge with me. You know, I'm 55 years old, man. I had a blessed career, I felt, you know what I mean? I thought it could have been better, so, but. I love Rudy T and his family and everything Rudy T had done for me, man. So nothing bad. I love Rudy T.
Well, I can't say the same about a coach that I got into a little beef with. So I'm not going to say that about Danny Ainge. I ain't going to tell no damn lie about how.
I'm waiting for the day you do, man. I'm sending it to his ass.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, that was the best decision ever. You know, I don't think a lot of these franchises now, back then, they didn't have the communication skills like they do with the players now, because it was just straight, like, you do your job and you play basketball and you shut up. You know, it was like that owner mentality pretty much.
Right.
And I had that situation that happened in Phoenix. I mean, you know, people don't know this, is that they lied on me and Sam, said all we cared about was getting a new contract. I'm like, bullshit. I don't want to be in this motherfucker. I can't stand it. And then when my contract was up, I'm out this joint. I'm not even trying to renew anything, right?
They said
put all that on me, and then Danny Ainge took over as coach, and he was like, oh, we traded away Michael Philly and Sam and AC to give you more playing time, and then I don't play, and he started lying, and he goes, sit your motherfucking ass down. I said, fuck you, man. And that's when I thought, things like that happen, man. People don't understand that guys got pride.
Nah, for real, man. Yeah. I'm real. That's real.
Well, I mean, today's coaches are so different, though, because today's NBA players are all in their feelings. It's about how is this person going to handle this, and how are they going to respond?
Yeah, they worry about what they think. Yeah.
Just tell me. Just don't lie to me. Just tell me.
It's
a business, and I know that. Don't lie to me. It's a business.
Right, man. That's when you have a problem.
Hey, Max, do you remember who gave you the nickname Mad Max?
Man, I don't know. One of them damn people changed my damn name. reporter in Houston changed my damn name.
I always ask because, man, we always talk about Rob's, obviously, Big Shot Bob's such a great nickname, and so many of these guys have these legendary nicknames. Yours, obviously, is a huge one, so I didn't know if there was, like, a story behind it.
Yeah, but you know what? I wonder why I never could make no goddamn money off that damn name. Ain't no motherfucker get no damn Mad Max. I couldn't do nothing with they ain't do nothing with old motherfuckers.
Mel Gibson owns that shit. That's why.
I get called Mad Max when I get called my damn mama name, my government name.
So go ahead, guys. Y'all, you know, every time we bring somebody on here, y'all want to know something. So go ahead and ask Vernon.
Yeah,
I don't think Vernon has anything on me. So
no, hold on now. You can't speak for Vernon.
Oh shit! Tell it though.
No, tell
I
it.
Won't tell it.
Tell it.
Hell no, I can't tell it. I take that to my grave. I can't tell it.
Oh no.
And I appreciate the loyalty.
No, the funny part is, you know, I think throughout my life, I've had a million nicknames. And so, for some odd reason, Vernon, I don't know how Vernon started calling me this, because I had this nickname in college. I don't know if you even knew this, Vernon. Because when you first called me that, I started laughing. Did y'all hear what Vernon called me when he first got on?
No,
when y'all didn't pay attention. Y'all ain't pay attention.
No, but I don't remember. I know you called you something. I just can't remember what it was.
When we first came on, I said freak.
Freak.
I called him freak.
Why you call him that?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's that going?
I don't know. I just started calling that. Well, I ain't going to say. I just started calling that.
Okay. There's stories behind stories that are not. Yeah, okay. All right, man. Well, listen, Vern, we'll let you bounce, man. We really appreciate your time. And, You know, we got nothing but love.
Hey, man, anything for my man, Rob, man. That's my guy, man.
Hey, good luck, man, with everything,
all right,
man.
All right. All right,
love you, brother.
All right, now.
Appreciate y'all
all
for having me, man. Y'all
anytime.
Stay blessed.
Anytime. Right. You too.
All right. In
this week's episode of People Who Don't Know How to Disconnect Their Zoom.
You can't get...
All right, I got him out. Okay. He's singing.
Man, I went
oh,
to
it's
singing.
Great. It's great.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Those other mobile companies make you think you're in control, but you're really not. They lure you in with shiny new phones and then lock you into long-term contracts. But Simple Mobile is different. You can get a 30-day plan starting at $25. You can also get the latest smartphones, or if you have a compatible phone you love, you can bring it. Just text BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. It's the reliability you need when you need it. All on a powerful nationwide 5G network with no mystery fees, no activation fees, and no contract ever. All for less money and no contract ever.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network is not available in all areas. 5G upload speed not yet available. Message and data rates may apply. Visit simplemobile.com/privacy policy for the privacy policy. Service plan required for activation. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
I mean, I'm chomping at the bit to get to Kwame Brown. Just because.
Let's go.
Holy
Let's
God,
go,
man. You know, like, I sort of like.
Of the century right there.
But I was crazy because I kind of half paid attention to it. And then B comes in yesterday and he's like, yo, you see this Kwame Brown stuff? And I'm like, I kind of saw it, but I didn't pay attention. So I went and apparently Gilbert Arenas was on All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And they were taking their par for the course shots at Kwame Brown because that's something that I guess it happens. Just because of the way his career panned out.
I want to know what the shots, man. I've been looking for the shots, but I haven't heard the shots that they said it.
I didn't either.
So here's how I went, because I watched it. Okay. And a lot of it, you know, some of it was a two-part thing when Jeannie went on the show and when Gilbert Arenas, how they started, you know, going through history and mentioning a lot of players. And, you know, Kwame had a problem with how in one of the episodes, you know, Stat kind of tapped Matt Barnes on the leg when they started talking about, you know, Kwame was supposed to be one of the greatest number one overall picks of all time, you know, supposedly, or something like that. So the sarcasm in the dialogue amongst those guys is kind of what, you know, for 20 years, 15, 20 years, that's what it's been with Kwame Brown being a bust, people talking about him and the sarcasm that's attached. So that's what he kind of grabbed a hold to and then, you know, went his way.
You want to hear something funny? My wife was like, who is Kwame Brown? Kwame Brown. I said, first thing I'm like, if you know how these kids in 2K design a player's body? Yeah. I'm like, that's Kwame Brown. And I think that's why so many people give him so much flack, because when you design a basketball player, 6'10", run, jump, incredible body, that's Kwame Brown. And so I think everybody, when you look at him, they expect him to be the next whoever, KG or whatever, you know, guys who come out of high school. And I think Kwame had so much pressure on him that he didn't, and I didn't think he had the right coaching. I didn't think he was with the right people, because if you look at Kwame and some, you will watch him like, oh, that's why he was the number one pick. And then you look sometimes like, okay, he looked confused. And I think it was because the people around him. And if you have to have the right mindset when you playing with someone like Gilbert Arenas, because we know Gilbert Arenas going to go for his. You know, he's agent zero. He going to get his buckets. And if you don't know how to play with guys like that, you can get lost in the shuffle. Just ask Eldon Campbell, one of the greatest players that I played against in college, get to league. I thought it was something. And certain players, when they're not used, it's hard for them to figure it out. And that's why you like guys like Jason Kidd. They take players like that and they fucking make them better. And he was never with a player that made him better.
Yeah. Also, he was drafted by Jordan. Mm-hmm. And we, you know Mike, you know, you played against Mike. And from the image that I get from Mike and most of society gets from him is we understand how intense of a player he was. But we also know how intense of an owner he is and a manager he is, because he takes that same intensity and brings it into a front office job. And sometimes that's not the best way to look at things or evaluate talent. You can't always look at everybody else the way you viewed yourself. because that's not fair. You're the greatest basketball player of all time. Well, everybody's not going to measure up to what you did.
Yeah. God right, well, gave you a lot of talents he didn't give everybody else.
Well, Kwame immediately comes out of the gate going back at Stack and Matt and Gilbert on his first run here.
And Steven Jackson, maybe you could put that motherfucking blunt out and pull your pants up on your ass and put that rag down and act like a grown-ass man instead of a little-ass boy. Becky with the good hair, go to counseling. And Gilbert, you already knew. I was quiet on you for years. I wasn't going to say nothing. You the right hand arm of them white boys. You the whitest black boy I ever know.
Oh man, man! And he calls Matt Barnes Becky with the good hair.
Oh man.
Man! So that's what started it, and then now here comes like Stack and Matt and all these guys kind of responding to it. Well, now Kwame realizes he's got a little bit of a platform here. Eyes are on him, so this is his opportunity to go get retribution against Stephen A. Smith, who I guess was not unkind to him when he came into the league as a teenager.
Stephen A., you bald forehead, you thinking you tough, saying all kind of shit like, oh, then you come see me. Well, sign up. Let's go to Seattle and you sign up. Well, Seattle, you ain't got to sign no waiver. Meet me in Seattle where you can have mutual combat and talk like that. I'll slap a toothpick. It'll look like you got a toupee on the front of your head or how hard I'll slap the back of your head, motherfucker. The hell you talking about? Y'all got people fooled with this fuck shit.
Oh, but hey. it continued.
Bona high scrub. He can't do nothing. This isn't that. I had to endure you talking about my mama's son like that, bitch. The fuck is you talking about? The only thing you known for being a black man that disrespect and talk about other black men. I should find who your old lady is, you punk old bitch. And show her my mama's cooking. I sprinkle a little good seasoning on her. I don't talk too much, nigga. Fuck you talking about.
Wow.
Hey, wow. After that, ooh, that right there, that statement right there lets me know he's from the dirty South. Yes, that's what I know from him saying that he's from
cooking.
The dirty. He from the dirty, you know. And that's the thing, but people don't understand about those guys from the dirty South. You don't want to fuck with them too much, you know.
We just got off
one with Mad Max, you know, from Florida, so
yeah,
you know those quiet guys. You know they'll snap in a second, and then it's a wrap.
He's from what they like to call the Low Country, and those people there. You know we work with one here at the station that's from that area, and those folks about their business. They say what they mean, and they mean what they say.
The hell you talking about?
So they may be quiet, but when it's time for them to turn up. This is kind of what it looks like. And for any time somebody said, let's not fight, mutual combat.
Yeah, what is mutual combat? It's like a game in American Gladiators where you each get like a big paddle stick and you just, I'm like, what the hell is he going
trying
for?
To go play Call of Duty in real life.
Hey, yeah, no, he's trying to do Mortal Kombat right now.
Yeah, like,
get over
what?
Here.
Yes. Like, come on, man, mutual combat. Ah, man. And I didn't realize the Seattle, like Thunderdome, is that where we go to kill each other now, Seattle?
Hey, it's... I don't know, but we got to figure that shit out. Hey, that might be a gig for us right there.
What,
you got
Thunderdome
come
in Seattle?
To Seattle.
Live from
you
the
Thunderdome.
But no, for a second, let's just all imagine Stephen A. Smith versus Kwame Brown in mutual combat.
Oh, my God.
Stephen A. don't want any part of that, man.
Now, I've seen Stephen A. take boxing lessons, and some of the punches that he's thrown.
Lord have mercy.
It ain't going to be a beautiful thing. It ain't going to be a beautiful sight at all.
Yeah, no, that's not. Look, and there's the thing, and this has always been my thing, and I know it's hard as an outside guy looking in. It's the media. Like, it is literally Stephen A.'s job to be critical of people all day on television and radio. That is what he does for a living. At any point, if you're going to let some random ass member of the media get that far under your skin, that's on you. Like, you got to put some of that aside and go, look, people are going to talk shit. They're going to say bad stuff about me. They're going to be critical of my play. It is what it is. I get why he's mad at Stack and Matt and Gilbert. Those are his boys. He played with those guys. I get that. But Stephen A., let that go.
But you got to understand, though, when someone in the media just piles on you and piles on you and piles on you, it get to a point where you're like, okay, motherfucker, there's a lot of more players out there you can pile on, because don't just come at me. And I think what he is, from what I'm getting and the feeling I'm getting from this, you know, with all this Black Lives Matter stuff that's going on in the world, that there are so many players that weren't Black that they could talk about. And for you to talk about, you know, for brother on brother crime, I think that's what he's getting at. He's like, yo, there's other players around this league that were number one pick and they weren't Black. And you can talk about them, you know. And I think with him, he's enough is enough for him. He's like, man, I've been getting this shit for all my career and people talking bad about me. And I'm tired of this shit, man. You know, get on somebody else's case and get off mine.
Yeah, I get it. I do get it.
The hell you talking about?
I don't know. Sorry. That's not nice. All right, well, moving on from that, we have a couple of things. Obviously,
do we have to?
No, I mean, we can keep going.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't have any more Kwame Brown. I mean, has he posted anything today? I guess not.
No, I haven't
posted
anything
this morning. So. But you know what?
Kwame Brown watch.
I will bet you we're on Kwame watch. I bet you by the next time we do this show, there will probably be more Kwame Brown audio. Well, Steph did win the scoring title after all was said and done.
We knew that was going to happen the way he'd been playing.
Does that lock him up, you think, MVP?
MVP? Nah. Because I just think you can't go by 2 months of work. If Steph would have been doing that from day one, yes. But 2 months of work, I don't think so. And I think that's the only reason that Jokic is going to win it. And I don't think he should. Because if you think about it right now, if I tell you to give me your top five players in the league right now, Jokic wouldn't be one of them. And for me, I know it's, and they're saying, okay, it's the body of work throughout the season. My pick, if I had a pick, would be Embiid, because I just think what he's done for that franchise, you know, new coach, new mindset, playing defense, playing offense, got him the number one seed in the East. I know that ain't saying much because the East is down and, you know, the what are they calling the Avengers, the Nets, they hadn't gathered all the Avengers yet. But I just think for me, Embiid, you know, and he should be it, but they're probably going to give it to Jokic. You know how this league is. They hype someone up, and then next thing you know, they're the MVP.
Yes, well, right. I'm going to give you some pushback on that. And let me tell you why I don't think it's Embiid. And he's having a great year. Here's the thing. When he was out, and I forget how many games he was out, that team stayed afloat. They stayed where they needed to
be. It's the East, dude. It's the East.
Yeah, but that argument could be used against Embiid.
What, it's the East?
No, him being MVP. If it's the East, then we can use that against him.
But his thing is, like, if you had – who would you rather play – if you got the ball offensively, who would you rather go against, Embiid or Jokic? You're going to blow by Jokic.
Yeah.
Right, but here's the thing about Jokic.
He don't play any defense. See, this is where everybody looks at the offensive side of the ball. I look at both sides of the ball.
Well, right. Yeah, but that's – Jokic that's, ain't giving me the NBA same thing. Is all offense, man.
Yeah, but Jokic ain't giving me the same things Embiid. I guarantee you, if we start a game right now and you said, who are you going to pick, Embiid or Jokic, who are you going to get?
I would probably lean towards Embiid.
I'd get it.
No, I ain't ask you all that. So who you going to pick?
And that's not a knock on Jokic, but I'd take Embiid.
All right, then. Hold on. You know, it ain't a disrespect to Jokic, but I'm just saying Jokic is good.
Right, but Jokic also does things that Embiid can't. And Jokic is a creator to where, what's his name? Jamal Murray went down with a season-ending injury, and we really thought that was going to be it for the Nuggets. But the simple fact that Jokic has been doing what he's doing with Murray and then without him.
Compacto or Capazzo, whatever his name is. He got a chance to play, and he's been killing it.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on, Big Shot. Really?
You can't even tell me who Capazzo or Compacto, whatever his name was, until Murray went down. And all of a sudden, he gets the role. He's stepping in, being big for them.
So he's more important than Jokic?
I didn't say that. I just said he stepped in and filled in appropriately. He is like, that's what the NBA is about. It's like if a slot opens up, that's why you're in the league, to fill that slot if someone goes down and you maintain the ship. You know, well, we'll see come when he gets this. And that MVP, and like when Dame put that on him and he out the playoffs, we see how good that shit is.
Okay. Hey,
but he's in the West. Remember that. That's the tougher conference. He's in the West and was able to remain afloat.
You have to look at their record and who they played down the stretch.
Okay.
They didn't play any of the top two. They had the easiest. When Murray went down, they had one of the easiest schedules left. So all right. That's why they stayed afloat.
Okay. Well,
but you know what, though? I'm gonna help you out, though, B.
What's up?
Even the Lakers had all these sorry teams, and they lost too. So I value what you say, and I get what you said, but that's why I said America's great. You have your MVP. I have my MVP. Yeah. But I just think that, you know, if he would have stayed healthy all year, mm-hmm. and went and missed a little couple of games, as soon as he, because people were looking for, they were looking for an excuse to get Embiid out of the MVP race. As soon as he went down, oh, he can't win it now, which is not fair and which is not right, because he missed a couple of games. Nobody talked about the game when Jokic went up against AD and he made him look like a little kid and had on like 12 points and went and sat down, you know. But yeah. then you see Embiid. There hasn't been anybody in the league that could stop Embiid this year but himself. Jokic has been stopped by a bunch of players. So
hey, Embiid, let me ask being you, one. Let me ask you this, Rob. What's the best? What did they say is the best ability? When people
say
availability, and that is the one thing that Jokic has had an issue with for a little bit of time is availability. That's the best ability.
Talking about Embiid?
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, look, yeah. and then they're going to give it to Bradley Beal.
Hold on.
We're all going to go, what? Hey, what?
Hold on. Who's your MVP, Rob?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm leaning in the direction of Steph Curry just because of the year he's had. It's really, and even though the Warriors have not been great, and they're, mm-hmm. I mean, they are hanging on for dear life. They're going to get the Lakers tonight. We're taping this show Wednesday. I think the Lakers are going to destroy the Warriors.
Taking
tonight.
The lamb to the slaughter.
I think it's going to be bad. But the fact that the Warriors are even in any kind of conversation for the postseason, based on the way that team has been completely decimated with injuries this year, I think it's just hard. The sheer will of Steph Curry, and he does it. With the numbers, his numbers the last 2 months have been, out of this world unbelievable. So it's hard to look at that and go, yeah, he doesn't deserve it. You know, Embiid's on a good team. He's got better players. He's got better coaching.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Steph put everything on his shoulders and got the Warriors at least into the conversation of a postseason.
You're right. I trust me, if he'd been doing this beginning of the season, no question, no doubt.
Anybody else in the playoffs you like these men? Do you like this play-in system, by the way?
You know, I don't.
It's so complicated. Because
the reason I don't like it because it boils back to something me and Vernon said about this load management. You know, play all year. Let your chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
And don't sit here and try to, you know, load manage and do all those things. You know, don't punish me because your team wasn't healthy, didn't follow protocols, didn't do what they needed to do to be in a position to, you know, get in the playoffs. So just think about this. It would be a travesty for, you know, think about how hard Steph fought to get them in that 8th seed. Now they say they lose to the Lakers and then they go over here and lose to whoever wins 9 and 10. That's just, now we just lost Steph Curry for the first round. We must see at least 4 to 5 games of him. See, now that is a tragedy because this dude played his ass off to get them into the eighth spot, and now he's
gonna have
out
to play
the
winner. If they lose to the Lakers tonight, they got to play the winner of the Grizzlies and the Spurs.
Right. But here's where it benefits them, though, because it could be a situation where the play-in, okay, you have 7, 8, 9, 10. No play-in, you're just going to go with the regular top 8 seed. So if the Warriors drop to 9 or 10, they at least have an opportunity to have a game or two to fight into the playoffs. Whereas if they didn't have the play-in, the Grizzlies wouldn't be having an opportunity to get into the playoffs if there was no play-in. It would just be the top 8 seeds and we'd move on.
So be it.
Do we really want to see the Grizzlies?
No.
You really want to see the Spurs?
Right, but I'm
this
talking.
Season, this is.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't. It's like Ja Morant, you should have taken care better of your body. JJ, you should have came back sooner. Spurs, you should have been on national TV at least once this year, so we know who the fuck you got on your team.
Yeah, for real.
And so these are the things that you gotta play. But we all For me, I'm just like, I want to see Steph. I want to see if Steph can do something amazing. Can he take an AC, beat the brakes off of one seed? You know, there have been a lot of one seeds to get beat. Especially, think about this. Golden State has been one of those 8 seeds that will surprise you. Going back to the Nelly days. And think about it. You get them in that 8 seed now, Utah is vulnerable. You know, so they are vulnerable. Because think about it. Gobert is only good for teams that go inside. Steph and them are outside. If they get hot, it is a wrap.
Hey, it's Robert Ory, and at Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. You can get a powerful nationwide 5G network all without a contract. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network not available in all areas. 5G upload speeds not yet available.
here's the number on this next story. 55 years of broadcasting the NBA, 22 years with Turner, called 25 NBA All-Star games, 13 NBA finals, and the 92 Dream Team. Marv Albert calling it quits. He also called this moment.
It's a two-point Sacramento lead. We're down to 7 seconds. Bryant putting the move on Christie. Rebound O'Neal. Coming up short. Horry for the win. Robert Horry has done it again.
Marv Albert called the shot in the Western Conference Finals against San Antonio.
You know, this guy has been around forever, man. He's just like, when you think about him, you just hear, yes! You know, that's just, he is the yes guy. You talk about, and when you think of like MMA or boxing and let's get ready to rumble, and like when it comes to NBA, that you hear that music, yes!
So. Yes, live from the Coliseum! It was always going
to
be...
I hate to see him go, man.
Man, but, he's the voice of basketball for my generation, at least. I mean, you know, I grew up on Marv Albert, but he called that moment. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I got a little sentimental watching that when I pulled the audio, because the first thing you see after you hit that shot is just the mob around you, but Kobe with his arms just wrapped around your head, and he is just giving you the business, just giving you love for hitting that shot. That got me in the feels a little after the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Yeah,
with Kobe.
Yeah, it's weird. There's so many, you know, since I covered the Lakers, I have to talk about it. You know, we've been have those Mamba moments, we call it on our show, and it's hard, man, when you have a guy like that that was so iconic to lose his life, you know, so early in a tragic accident. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those times when you just get pissed off because you wanted to really hear what he had to say in his Hall of Fame speech. I know his wife did a great job, but sometimes you want to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, so to say. And I wanted to hear what the Mamba had to say because it had been iconic.
I did really like this moment from Vanessa Bryant.
I'm sure he's laughing in heaven because I'm about to praise him in public for his accomplishments on one of the most public stages. I can see him now, arms folded, with a huge grin saying, isn't this some shit?
I just thought that was a great moment for Vanessa Bryant. And I can't imagine how hard just the last year plus has been on their family in general. And then this moment where she has to really get up in front of the world. And I'm not going to lie, the world was watching her talk and try to encapsulate what he meant to her and what he meant to the game of basketball and what he meant to people the world over. I can't imagine that. I can't wrap my head around that. So,
you know, it had to be very emotional because as you're up there, you're thinking about, you know, you should be down there looking up there with hearts in your eyes with your girls around you. And now he's not there. You're up there and one of your girls is missing. So it's so hard.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing, because like I said, Kobe's my favorite player of all time. And so, you know, watching that, you know, I felt a certain type of way as well. But I always think about it and put it in perspective. You know, me as a fan and millions other around the world as fans, and even Robert with you playing with him, you know, he belongs to her. Like, that's a different level of grief that she has and a different level of pain that she is dealing with. So, you know, in respect to, you know, everybody feeling a certain type of way, like, it's different for her because she lost Kobe and Gigi. Yeah. And that's a double pain. And so Kobe, we love Kobe and a piece of him belongs to the world, but he fully belongs to her and that family. And so I think a lot of, you know, we have to continuously put that in perspective and understand that, you know, a lot of us are grieving and even some people who knew him personally are grieving even more, but there's probably no one grieving more than Vanessa Bryant. So, and that's something that we all have to keep take into consideration.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we always, I've said that a lot, and we always focus on Vanessa, and I always think, but I said, people always forget that Bean lost his son. You know, he and his wife lost their child and their grandchild.
Yeah.
So, and there was a point where people were forgetting about that. You know, for a person who's lost a child, that pain is incredible. And I think for a lot, people were like, oh, I lost Kobe. No, you didn't lose Kobe because you're not his family.
Right.
You know, his father and his mother lost him, his wife and his kids lost. Those are the people that are going to grieve. You can grieve too, but your grief, and then like they grieve. I don't care what you say. Oh, I was the biggest fan in the world. Right. I said, no, you weren't the biggest fan. You think his parents and his wife and kids weren't bigger fans than you?
Yeah.
You know, so,
and so I think
you're so right, B-Dog. People don't understand that, you know, we did, you know, we lost him, but they lost more.
Yeah,
for sure. All right. Well, look, let's end the show a little bit of an upbeat with the big shot of the week, because it's always a good story. This one is actually going to go to somebody whose name no one knows. And here's why he's getting the big shot of the week.
Oh, I saw this.
This man was standing on a bridge in Ocean City, Maryland. There's an accident. A toddler, 2-year-old, is ejected from the car in the car seat during this accident off the bridge, 25 feet down into the water. And this guy didn't even blink. He jumped off this huge, this 25-foot bridge down into the water, grabbed the car seat with the poor child still in it, and got over to a boat. The boat pulled the two of them out of the water, saved the kid's life. And the first thing he says is, I don't want my name in the press. I don't want any media attention for this. I did this because it was the right thing to do. So that's whoever dope. You are, good sir, in Ocean right. City, Maryland, who saved the life of this little kid, God bless you, sir.
Right. Absolutely.
Man, I mean, wow.
Man, you know, for you, think about it. You know, you don't know what's in that water. And so you just dive in to save a child. Yeah, that's just, that is a selfless act for real. And and for you not to want to be, you know, embraced and loved by this is amazing. He's probably sitting at home right now, probably say, okay, I would have did it a million times over, one thought twice, because he's just a good Samaritan. So I know it's something someone wanted to do for him or something, to say thank you. That's the family. You know, take him to dinner or something on the low, you know, just to say thank you.
Just to say thank you. Yeah, but no, he doesn't want his name out there. He doesn't want to be identified. He did what he thought was right. And we are in a world that of people that crave attention for when they do things. And this guy didn't want any of it.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't want any of it. He just like, nope, that was the right thing to do.
You know, it's weird that that's something like a movie. You know, and this person is one of those sleeper agents that, you know, put America that can't have his face in the paper and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, like that ref we had. The ref we had was an undercover agent, you know, and he infiltrated the mob. I forget the ref's name, but that was a cool story. It's like, you mean you infiltrated the mob and you still being a ref on a national stage and not afraid for someone to come out and get you? Yeah.
Damn.
I didn't know anything about that one.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah, it's the ref during my generation. He went undercover in the mob.
Talked about Tim Dunaghy a lot. This isn't anything wrapped around Tim Dunaghy or any of that crap, is it?
No. He went undercover with the mob. I'm gonna have to figure out. If you Google him, I'm sure you got the system over there.
Yeah, hang on.
He was a cool ass ref too, and the reason because one time we were playing a game and
Bob
I was like
Delaney.
Oh. Yeah, Bob Delaney. Bob I went to Delaney. Bob. Like, Bob, man, you lunching, man. He like, what? I said, you lunching. He like, what the hell does that mean? I said, that's just a term that we use when you like, you just sitting back, relaxing, not doing a damn thing.
Right.
He like, I said, you lunching, man. So every time he would see me, he's like, yo, Rob, I'm lunching.
Hey, you know, it's interesting with a lot of these NBA refs, like, obviously, they have other things that they do in a more full-time capacity. So it's interesting to, you know, to find out what these refs actually do outside of, you know, reffing on the court or, you know, reffing out on the football field. So it's interesting to see that. You know.
I had no clue about any of this, by the way, with Bob Delaney. Bob Delaney, before he was an NBA ref, was a New Jersey State patrolman, New Jersey State trooper, who went undercover and infiltrated the mob. Then retired from the force and became an NBA referee. I had no clue about any of this.
Hey,
that
Bob
is super
Delaney was cool.
Cool
though. I liked him.
Damn.
There's not many refs you like, but Bob Delaney was one.
You know what? You know what it also means, Rob. He ain't scared of none of y'all tall folks.
Hell no.
He ain't scared of none of y'all.
He's been face to face with the mob. He don't give a shit what Robert Horry has to say to him.
So look, Oakley, all y'all who most people are scared of, Delaney, look, girl, damn, I don't want to hear all that.
Delaney, look at you and go,
the hell you talking about?
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.